Today on Richard Ellis Talks.
You know what one of the toughest things in our lives sometimes is being still and not moving until God says move. God says go, do what I'm telling you to do, and I'll tell you when you can go to the next step. And we say, but I'm getting tired of waiting on you. Don't move.
Welcome to Richard Ellis Talks with Richard Ellis. We began last week focusing on Advent and what it means during the Christmas season. Our first candle was that of hope. And this week, we're looking at peace. This Bethlehem candle represents a new era of reconciliation. And that's what Richard's messages are all about, the reconciling of us to the Savior. I'm also very excited to share about a huge opportunity we have with you that I'll reveal later in the program. But for now, let's go ahead and get things off and running with today's talk. Here's Richard Ellis.
The title of today's message is
Out of Africa. And this may be a little bit of a bizarre passage to look at in the middle of the year like this, but a little known fact, or maybe some people are aware of it, is that the Messiah came out of Africa. Jesus came out of Africa, and part of prophecy was just that fact, that he would come out of Africa. The wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, and they were looking for this king. And verse 3, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. So they said to him, in Bethlehem of Judea. For thus is written by the prophet, but you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are not the least among the rulers of Judah. For out of you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Now he was born, it was prophesied that he would be born in Bethlehem, and that's the case. Then 7, then Herod, when he had secretly called the wise men, determined from them what time the star appeared. So he calculated what the time period was when Jesus had been born, and he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search carefully for the young child, and when you have found him, bring back word to me that I may come and worship him also. When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they had come into the house, now this takes some time to get from Jerusalem. When they got from Herod to Bethlehem, it wasn't like the day or the week that he was born necessarily. It took them some time to get there and find him. And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Remember verse 11. I'll come back to that in a minute. Then being divinely warned in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed from their own country another way. Verse 13, now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take the young child and his mother, and flee where? To Egypt. Where is Egypt? It's in Africa. A lot of times we don't think about this. You pick any picture of Africa, just the outline of the continent of Africa, Egypt is the northeast corner of Africa. It is included in the continent of Africa. So they said to the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. Now, I'm going to go over these verses with you for just a few minutes and try to tie in, obviously, this trip. It'd be hard to not talk about that. But talk about Jesus and where he came from, what he went through, and really one of the people I want to focus on is Joseph. Joseph, if you go back to the story of Jesus and his birth, Joseph is a guy who's engaged with some young girl, teenage girl, who turns up pregnant, and her excuse for being pregnant is that the Holy Spirit's gotten her pregnant. She's not married. She's going to have this illegitimate child, at least in human terms. So Joseph is engaged with this young girl who he loves, and the angel of the Lord appears to Joseph and explains what she's telling you is right. This really is a child conceived by literally the Holy Spirit. You're okay to stay with her. Don't send her away. Stay with her. And be a father, a human father, to this child. That happens. Then there's a census. The government gets involved and says, okay, not only are you engaged with some girl who's pregnant, and everybody's going to think it's somebody besides you, that this is an unwed mother, but now you're going to have to take this pregnant woman 9 months or so pregnant and travel on, you know, the back of a donkey as we usually see them portrayed. She's going to have to travel from where they were all the way down to Bethlehem. That's inconvenience. He gets down there and this baby is born while they're there, which fulfills prophecy, so that's a great thing. This guy is submitting to God all along the way, or the whole thing falls apart. And most of our focus is on Jesus, and rightly so. A lot of the focus is on Mary. She's this girl that's chosen to bear God and a man God. She's a great person too. But without Joseph, guys, and without his listening to God and willingness to obey God, there's a lot of stuff that would never have happened, prophecies that were fulfilled because this guy obeyed. And he listened to God and took great risk and made tremendous sacrifice. And as I'll point out in a minute, when God spoke, he didn't think about it. He said, yes, sir, and followed orders and did it immediately. Now, how's this going to tie in with you and me? There are people in this room and beyond this room listening to this message where God is speaking to you or has spoken to you and very specifically said, do this, don't do this, go here, don't go here, date this person, don't date this person. And you are in a quandary and in a situation at a crossroads where you have got to make some kind of decision, and it better not be your decision because you're in enough trouble as it is. And you need to hear the voice of God, whether it's an audible voice, which I've never heard, but people have heard it before. It's scriptural. It's happened in the scriptures. Whether it's in a dream, we got that in this story. Whether you read the scripture, which more times than not, he'll reveal himself through the scripture or through the Holy Spirit in your heart. But there will usually be multiple confirmations when you're making some kind of decision as to whether it's God's will for your life or not. Now, I want you to look through this story. We're going to go back through it in a minute. And I'm going to show you at least how powerful it is and how they got from Bethlehem. It was time to go back home. Now, all of a sudden, he's having to go to Egypt. Sometimes where you end up is the last place on earth you want to be. But God can literally save your life by you going and being obedient and doing what he says to do. God may ask you to do something. You say, God, well, I'm willing to do it, but I can't afford to do it. God ever asked you to do something you didn't have the money to do? And you wondered how you were going to do it? You know what? It's not your problem. If God tells you to go somewhere and do something, he funds what he tells you he wants you to do. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen this in the scripture, but how did God, you've got this guy, Joseph, engaged to be married to this girl who's pregnant. They're having a baby out in Bethlehem here in some stable in a stall with a bunch of animals around him. He's probably at some point thinking, what in the world have I gotten myself into? Shepherds are showing up saying they'd seen angels. I mean, it's the most bizarre thing you've ever heard. He thinks, okay, I've done it all. I've done what God asked me to do. Now these wise men show up a few weeks or months later, and they're bringing in all this stuff. And then in the middle of the night, look what happens. The wise men leave. They were warned to go back. Don't tell Herod that you found the baby. Go back home another way. When they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord, verse 13, appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt. It is a long way from Bethlehem to Egypt, guys. And you don't hop a train or catch the first flight out. I mean, it is on foot. Maybe you've got a donkey, maybe you don't. It is a long haul, inconvenient trip with a mom who's just had a baby and a newborn baby, or at least a small child at this point. The angel says, get up, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word. You know what one of the toughest things in our lives sometimes is being still and not moving until God says move. God says, go do what I'm telling you to do and I'll tell you when you can go to the next step. And we say, but I'm getting tired of waiting on you. Don't move. And in this case, Jesus is a helpless newborn child that is at the mercy of God in heaven, all the angels around watching this, and this man, Joseph, who is put in charge and overseeing this woman and this baby. There's no entourage that goes with them that anybody can see. Now, there's angels following them everywhere they go because they're whispering messages to Joseph and these wise men saying, okay, and I don't know, guys, it's one of these movies I'm going to rent, but I got to say this. I think that these angels at some point might have thought God had lost his mind. Because God leaves heaven, Jesus, God leaves heaven and takes on the form of a sperm and goes into an egg in a woman's womb. And like, what are you thinking? This baby is so vulnerable. This child is in a womb. Now it's born. It's in this stable. God, what are you thinking? Why would you let your own son be in these conditions? And the angels are not able to intervene in some ways. They have to rely on what? The obedience of a human being. And the angel whispers in a dream to Joseph and says, Joseph, do this. And if Joseph doesn't do this, what is at risk? Jesus gets caught up, if you keep reading in this passage, where Herod has every male child under the age of 2 slaughtered in this area of Bethlehem trying to wipe out Jesus. So if Joseph doesn't obey, literally the Messiah's life is at stake if he doesn't get out of Dodge, or Bethlehem in this case. All right, keep reading with me. Arise, take the young child and his mother, flee to Egypt and stay there until I bring you word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. Now Joseph had made provision and plan to leave his hometown and travel to Bethlehem and get back home. How in the world is he supposed to travel from Bethlehem to Egypt, Africa? He didn't leave probably with the money to make it all the way to Egypt. Where'd the money come from? The wise men. These wise men had left home months before there was ever even a need. But see, what you don't realize and I don't realize sometimes is that God, before the foundation of the world, let me tell you something, guys, God is so far behind you and ahead of you, you have no idea what he's doing. And there are things coming that will intersect this week. They'll intersect a month from now, 20 years from now, 100 years from now. Things that God is orchestrating and situations in your life and planning. And if you will just pay attention today and you will just obey now and say, Father, I don't know about later. I can't see later, but I've got enough track record with you where I've trusted you that you've taken care of me. And I don't see how you're going to fund this business. And I don't see how we're going to make the next check. But I don't have to see everything. I just got to see you. And I got to keep my eyes on you and trust you. I don't know how it's going to work out. Out of nowhere, 3 wise men show up with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. These guys showed up with treasure. And here Joseph's hit the jackpot. And the angel then comes and says, okay, I've taken care of everything. There's funds here to take care of this baby. I've provided. Now get him to Egypt. Now, what happens in verse 14? He has his dream, verse 13, says, get out of here, take him to Egypt, verse 14. When he arose, now guys, this is immediate. You are in danger, you're in trouble, you're going to be in a heap of trouble if you do not obey God when he speaks. You think you're in trouble now, you stall around and dilly-dally around and think about it, and, oh, I'm not sure I want to do that. You don't have an option sometimes. Your life is at stake in some instances if you do not obey. You think, well, I'm in so much trouble. What if I make the wrong decision? If you hear from God and it's confirmed in your heart through the word, through other people, you get godly advice, say, this is what I think God's telling me, and they say, you know what, don't do it. Maybe you heard the wrong thing, then hold off. But if everybody's saying, you know what, I think that's exactly what God's saying to do, then make a decision, move, do the right thing. Because it says in verse 14, when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. In the middle of the night, said, you know what, the angel says, get out of here. Everything else the angel told me is true. We're out of here now. We're out of here tonight. In the middle of the night, we're leaving. Is it convenient? No, but it's safe. It's right. He obeyed. Now, I think I've emphasized this, and I'm trying to emphasize this. The reason a lot of us get in trouble is that God has been speaking to us all of our lives. There's some of you sitting there right now, and God told you something 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 2 days ago. And you're not obeying it. You're dating someone. He says, this is not right. You're sleeping with this person. It's not right. You're doing whatever. It's not right. He says, stop. And you say, well, I'll pray about it. You got nothing to pray about. You have a decision to make that either I will obey or I will disobey and suffer the consequences either way. You got to make a decision and choose to obey. And it is better to obey. Obeying is better than sacrifice, the scripture says. So God says, do this. You say, yes, sir. And you say, when? He says, right now. You say, yes, sir. And you start living that way, guys. It's going to change the way you live. And you're going to avoid a multitude of complications that you're going through, that you're bringing on yourself. So he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed for Egypt. And verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Lord through the prophet, saying, out of Egypt I called my son. So literally, Jesus came out of Egypt, was born in Bethlehem, went to Egypt, came out of Egypt, out of Africa, back to the promised land. And some theologians compare this, that he literally went where God's people had been in Egypt and then was delivered out of there when Herod was killed. Verse 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was deceived by the wise men, was exceedingly angry. He sent forth and put to death all the male children who were in Bethlehem and in all its districts from 2 years old and under, according to the time which had been determined from the wise men. Skip down to verse 19. Now when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt. Now listen to this, guys. You say, well, God told me a year ago to do something and I did it. Okay. You say, well, he hadn't told me to do anything different. Okay. Then keep doing what you're doing. You say, well, I haven't heard from him in a long time. Okay. If he's got something to tell you, he'll tell you, right? You ever been on a long trip with somebody that you know really well? You know how you know somebody really well or not on a long trip in a car where you're stuck with somebody? There's a lot of just chit-chat. Oh, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. I'm just yank. If you know the person, you get in the car, you go, wake me up when we get there. And you go to sleep. Or you wake up, look out the window. Where are we? Right here. Great. Go back to sleep. Hopefully their snoring keeps you awake while you're driving, vice versa. You just ride. You know why? Because you don't have to say something all the time when you're comfortable and you know the person. And some of this ride with God, he speaks and says, it's not like he's asleep in the car. He's riding there with you. He says, okay, you drive. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go here. Just go straight. I'll tell you when to turn. Well, you're on a straightaway highway. You don't hear anything. You just keep driving. And you keep passing intersections. And some of them are great roads and going to beautiful places. And you say, well, are we supposed to go here? Look, this is a great road. You don't hear anything? Okay, we just keep driving. The problem is we start making these turns when God says, where are you going? I didn't tell you to turn here. I didn't tell you to do this. So you ride, and then all of a sudden out of nowhere, you're driving. You say, Lord, man, it's great to have you here with me. You're just interacting, having fellowship with God. And he says, turn right, right here. You remember right here? Right here. Well, that didn't look a good road. Let's go to the next intersection. He says, you know what? When I say turn, turn, or you're going to be in trouble. You're going to miss it. And it may be an obscure little road off the side that no one's taken. But the Bible says, straight is the gate and narrow is the way that leads where he wants you to go, and broad is the way. The big wide roads where everybody's going, God may say, right here, right now, take the turn. There may not even be a road there, but it's the right thing to do. Take the turn. So he went to Egypt. Jesus is a young child, raised for however long they were there. Verse 19 again, when Herod was dead, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, arise. He's told this guy, arise, get up, go to Egypt. He went. He says, arise again, take the young child and his mother, go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the young child's life are dead. You're safe now, you can go home. Then he arose, took the young child and his mother, and came into the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea instead of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there, and being warned by God in a dream, he turned aside into the region of Galilee, and he came and dwelt in a city called Nazareth, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophets, he shall be called a Nazarene. All of it fulfilling prophecy. You know what, guys? It's so simple. It is so stinking simple. God has a plan, a purpose for your life. The fact you're even sitting in this building, visiting this church or a part of this church is not coincidence. You're here for a reason. God's brought you here for a reason. And I tell people this, we don't fish out of anybody else's aquarium and we don't recruit people to come to this church. If you're in another church and God sends you here, great. But if God doesn't send you here, go back. Because if you're supposed to be somewhere else and you're not there, you're going to make all kind of trouble here if you're out of God's will. You make sure you are exactly where God wants you to be, because when you're there, you're going to do what he wants you to do, and it won't be whether I make you mad or happy. It'll be because you're trusting him and obeying him. It won't be focused on any one person except Jesus. And there are people in this room under the sound of my voice that God has prepared you. He has put you in a place. He has a plan for your life. And in a split second, there is no time to wait. God says, now, do it now, go now, trust me now, obey me now, do it now. There are lives at stake. And some people in the middle of the night would be, you know, awakened. The Holy Spirit would say, pray, somebody specifically or just for the whole group. Guys, when that happens to you, don't roll over and say, oh, well, I'll make a note of that and pick it up in the morning. It is morning somewhere. And sometimes it's groanings that can't be uttered. You don't even know who or what you're praying for. But God has this system, connected system all over the planet of intercession and prayer where things are going on. There are people praying for our church right now on the other side of the planet because the Holy Spirit mobilizes people in situations to get the job done. It is not always convenient to go and to do whatever it is you're supposed to go and do and be, but I'm telling you guys, it is better to obey. And as you look at this story we've read here today, how Jesus got out of Africa, he had to get into Africa to get out of Africa. And that was a result of Joseph's immediate and specific obedience to God's command, angels speaking to him, dreams, whatever the situation. If God is speaking to you about something today, don't delay any longer. Do what it is he's telling you to do. And in some of your cases, it may be to give your life to Christ. You say, God, I've been fighting you. I've been running. I've been screaming. I've been trying everything my way. I can't take it anymore. I understand that Jesus died on the cross for my sins, was buried, shed his blood to pay my way, to cover my past, give me a future, that eternal life is a gift. And today, God, enough is enough. I'm telling you, I want this gift of eternal life for me personally. I'm asking you to come live in me and through me to make me clean, to make me whole, to make me a new creature, to turn me from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to the power of God, from death to life. Change my life, God. Give me a new life. If you're even remotely hearing that, guys, if you hear his voice, the scripture says, do not harden your heart. Say yes. It makes all the difference. All right, let's pray. And our Father, I thank you so much for these people, this place, this time, for the obedience of so many through so many years in the past, Lord, that contributed literally to Jesus not just being born in the right place, but his life being preserved all along the way until it was your time for him to die. And not randomly, but for our sake to redeem us. And Father, I pray for those who are listening who maybe today, for the first time in their life, need to receive the gift of eternal life. And wherever they are, in this place, at home, in a car, wherever they're listening, that they would say, Father, I know that I'm a sinner and I need your forgiveness. I'm wrong. You're right. My way is not working, never has, never will. It's your way or no way at all. And I do believe that Jesus is God, that he lived a perfect life, born of a virgin, died on the cross, a sacrifice for my sin, shed his blood, was buried and raised from the dead to purchase a place for me in heaven. And right now, dear God, I receive that gift of eternal life. I ask you to come live in me, live through me, change my mind, my heart, my life, my forever. And I yield my life, Lord. I don't just want heaven. I want you to take my life between here and heaven and glorify yourself. Use it to point to you. I'll go anywhere. I'll do anything. I'll give up anything. I'll take anything on, Lord. Just don't let me miss your plan, your purpose for my life. And Father, for people who already know you, they're Christians. They know if they died, they'd be in heaven, but their life is hell. And it may be a result of disobedience, of just flat out trying to run the other direction and get away from you. And they can't run anymore, and there's nothing to run to. And it's brought nothing but misery and pain, Lord. I pray today that if we need to turn, that we would turn. Change our mind, agree with what you're saying, not say what we're saying. Repent, Lord. And Lord, for people who are hearing your voice and you have spoken clearly to them through your word, by your spirit in their heart, through other believers, and you've spoken to them and said, do this or don't do this, and they know it and they just don't have the courage maybe yet to obey, Father, I pray now that Holy Spirit, you would just impart power and wisdom and courage in the hearts and lives of people to choose life, to choose obedience, no matter what the cost, Lord, and realize that whether they can see the plan, they can trust that you have a plan and that you won't start something you don't finish, Lord. We thank you for that. Thank you for decisions that are made here today, Father, not just in people's heads and hearts, but that will take action and that we will arise and do whatever it is you want us to do. And we pray all this in Jesus' name, who makes it possible. Amen.
Thank you for taking time out of your busy day to listen to Richard Ellis Talks. There's only one reason we do this program, to take the planet with the good news of Jesus Christ. That's our message and our mission. And this entire month of December in our Advent programs, we have been intentional to share the message that Jesus came to save his people from their sins. These Advent candles that we've lit each week lets us shine that good news to a world that needs to hear it. And you can help us shine that bright light of Jesus. We have an incredible opportunity to share with you on how you can join us in this mission. Because of a very generous gift from a faithful donor, every gift you contribute to this ministry is going to be doubled. Yes, every dollar you give to keep the ministry of Richard Ellis on the air is going to be doubled. We all love getting and giving gifts at Christmas, and this is how you can send us your generous financial gift to bless us and help us to continue sharing about Jesus in our mission. Go to our website, richardellis.com, and click on the link to send us your very valued gift. Again, that's richardellis.com. You can also send us your gift by calling 855-6-RICHARD, 855-6-RICHARD. I can't tell you just how much that will mean to Richard and to this ministry. You can make our Christmas complete by giving your tax-deductible gift that's going to be doubled to richardellis.com or by calling 855-6-RICHARD. One last time, that's richardellis.com or call 855-6-RICHARD. So until next time, thank you for listening. Thank you for your generous gift. Thank you for your faithfulness to this ministry. And we'll see you again right here on Richard Ellis Talks.